The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, we just read the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And it starts with the Beatitudes, this list of people who are blessed. So what's the point of this list of people who are blessed? Is Jesus trying to inspire us to better behavior? Take, for example, the Beatitude, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. Is Jesus trying to inspire you to make peace? If that's the point of the Beatitudes, then maybe my obligation as a preacher is to spell out what you need to do. Maybe suggest strategies you might employ to make peace at home with your spouse, or at work with your coworkers, or with your neighbors. But is that the point that Jesus is making in the Beatitudes? That peacemakers are blessed, so you better start being a peacemaker. And while you're at it, you better start hungering and thirsting for righteousness too. And by the way, you're not very meek. So do something about it. You've got work to do. Lots of it. Is that the point? Then what is the point of the Beatitudes? You know, when we were down in the Bay Area of California a few weeks ago, I saw an old friend of mine who teaches organizational management at a local college down there. This guy has one of the most interesting personal histories of anybody I know. He grew up in rural South Georgia, the youngest child of an alcoholic father who died when my friend was 11 years old. His mother, in her grief, pretty much checked out of life, and this buddy of mine fended for himself and, not surprisingly, dropped out of high school his sophomore year. The short version of a long story is that he overcame a whole series of obstacles to finish a doctorate in organizational management and held a string of prominent positions in state government in the Northwest before becoming a professor in the Bay Area. This guy is maybe the most charismatic person I've ever met, and he's had a storybook life in some respects, and yet he's burdened with guilt and regret and shame. He has had a rocky relationship with his 20-something son, a son whom he fears he treated too harshly, demanded too much of, pushed and cajoled, and even threatened sometimes. There are things he wishes that he could go back and erase, But it doesn't work that way. He reacted very poorly, his own description, when his daughter announced her homosexual orientation. He was deeply hurt and confused. His daughter's announcement was completely contradictory to the moral code of his evangelical faith. So he blasted and bullied and condemned. And now he looks back with regret. But the damage to that relationship has largely been done. Here's why I tell the story. Here's my point. Rather than being a demand for better behavior from you, the Beatitudes proclaim God's mercy toward you. The Beatitudes announce sweet relief for sinners, even when it appears to be too late. You see, it's too late for my friend to go back and react differently to his son and to his daughter. All he can do is ask God to repair what he cannot. All he can do is seek God's mercy. The Beatitudes are addressed to him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who recognize their desperate need for God's forgiveness and help. Well, that's him. Blessed are those who mourn. That's him. He's sorry it ever happened, and according to the Beatitudes, he'll be comforted. Blessed are the merciful. It took some time. It took some tears. It took some perspective. But now he regards his children with mercy rather than condemnation. And the Beatitudes promise that even after everything that's happened, God will be merciful to him. You know, I've told the story many times of sitting in the back pew at Christ Lutheran Church in Lakewood, Washington, as a 23-year-old young man. And I'd prayed fervently the night before that God would show me what poor in spirit meant. And that morning, Pastor Cy Torvund explained it. I didn't have to read the first Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and then conjure up a recognition of my desperate need for God. Life had beaten me up enough that I already recognized my desperate need for God. I was already poor in spirit. What I needed was the good news that despite my stupidity and failure and faults, despite my rebellion and self-centeredness, that God would not withhold his forgiveness and his help and his mercy for me. Despite everything I'd done or not done, God would still have mercy. The Beatitudes are not a kick in the rear. They're not a warning shot across the bow. They're an announcement of God's compassion toward you. The Beatitudes are meant to encourage you who are poor in spirit, who recognize your desperate need for God. They're intended to encourage you who've suffered loss and sorrow, you who mourn, or you who've been ignored or set aside, you who are meek. The Beatitudes are intended to encourage you who desire to do what's right in God's eyes, but fail over and over again. The announcement is, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, despite your failures, God will not cast you aside. Or you who have suffered, or you who are weary of strife and long for peace, or you who are persecuted and slandered for Christ, for all of you, the Beatitudes are intended to encourage you. Don't give up. There are good things ahead. See what kind of love the Father has given us, we read in John chapter 3, that we should be called the children of God. The Beatitudes are a gift to you from God who loves you. You know, this is All Saints Sunday when we remember those who've gone on to heaven before us. In July of 2005, our last month in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we lived for 4 years while I went to seminary, that summer we drove 5 hours to the southwest corner of the state, and on a beautiful Sunday morning, we crossed the Wabash River into Illinois. We made our way to the little town of St. Francisville, and following directions from locals, we found Pisgah Church, an old brick structure built in the 1880s, situated at the top of a knoll with the most beautiful view of rolling farmland that you can imagine. Behind the church is an old cemetery, and that's why we were there, to find the tombstone and grave of Daisy D. Bertrand Taylor, who died at the age of 30 in 1901, leaving behind her husband Jesse and their only child, 3-year-old Archa Bertrand Taylor. I never knew Daisy D., of course, nor Jesse. They died long before I was born. But I knew their little boy, Archa Bertrand, who became my maternal grandfather, who I loved very much, and he loved me. My grandpa used to keep his mom's obituary from the St. Francisville newspaper in 1901 that described her as a young woman of good humor and deep faith. Etched on her tombstone, still discernible after 104 years of Midwestern weather, were these words: "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's not an imperative. It's a promise to a young woman who is dying, leaving behind her husband and 3-year-old son. A promise given also to you who depend on Christ alone. Today, as we gather at the communion rail, it's not just us who gather, as Linda talked about earlier. Somehow, some way, we're joined by angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, including Daisy D. and Jesse and Archa Bertrand Taylor, and all whom you love as well. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see where you have promised us mercy and compassion and goodness. And Lord, help us to glory in this gospel, that we who are sinful can be confident that you have died for our sins, especially on this All Saints Sunday. Help us to glory and recognize the magnitude of your mercy and goodness toward us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.